Morning. Today's daf and tomorrow's Tes Zayin, where we just got to the bottom of Tes Vav Amud Beis yesterday. I'm going to take just a little bit of a step backwards, just to go back to the beginning of the sugya, and we will take it from there. So I'm going to start on Tes Vav Amud Beis. We're going to start at the two dots. It's about 20 lines from the bottom of the Amud, the beginning of the line, Tanan Hasam. We start with a Mishnah in Sota. The Gemara over here that we're going to be learning is extraordinarily fundamental regarding the history of Torah Sheba'al Peh and the development of Torah Sheba'al Peh as it first is given to Moshe Rabbeinu and transmitted from generation to generation, to the point where there starts to be a little bit of a schism of Torah Sheba'al Peh, to the point where it's a full-blown machlokas. The Gemara over here discusses it fundamentally and historically. They're also going to see the Gemara in Chagiga having a related discussion. So the truth of the matter is if you want a good picture, a full picture in terms of the history of Torah Sheba'al Peh, so our Gemara today, tomorrow, Daf Tes Zayin, is going to be a starting point, and the Gemara in Chagiga as well is going to also be super related to our discussion. So those are two Gemaras to look at, really side by side. We're going to start today with a citation of a Mishnah in Sota. Tanan Hasam, Mishemes Yosef Ben Yoezer, Yishreda, so when Yosef Ben Yoezer and Yosef Ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, so when the two of them died. Now, as I explained already yesterday, but just quickly to recap today, so we're talking about the first of the Zugos. All right, so upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael, for a second time to build the second base of Mikdash, so the way the leadership worked rabbinically is that you had first Shimon HaTzadik, it was Meshayare Anshei Knesset Sagadola. He was a remnant of the Anshei Knesset Sagadola. Anshei Knesset Sagadola brought us a Siddur, brought us Shemona Esrei, really gave us basic institutions as we now come back to build and live in Eretz Yisrael for a second time. And so the first rabbinic leader of the Jewish people then was Shimon HaTzadik. Then Antignos Yishocho came next. And then after that, you had Zugos. You had pairs of Chachamim who served as Nasi Av Beis Din. And so we know these pairs. If you open up Pirkei Avos and you read through the Mishnayos over there, so you're going to actually see, starting with Shimon HaTzadik, and then Antignos Yishocho, and then the five Zugos. So the first of the five Zugos is that who we're learning about right now. That is the two Yochanans. Right, the two Yosefs. Thank you. Okay, slightly confused. Okay, now less so. Right, so the two Yosefs. Right, Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. So they are the first of the Zugos. So what the Gemara is now saying is that if you're gonna put a marker on the map, some sort of pin on the map, in terms of talking about where there's a little bit of a fall off from a certain level that was perpetuated for many years. We're going from Moshe Rabbeinu to this generation, so this covers now somewhere around 900 years, a little bit more than that, but about 900 years, right? The Mishkan Shiloh, approximately 400 years, 369 to be precise. The first Beis Hamikdash, 400 years, 410 to be precise. So okay, and then the Galus, and then the 40 years of the desert. Okay, it's about 900 years, approximately. So you're talking about a good chunk of history, and so only from this point going forward now was there a drop-off. That's what the Gemara here is pointing out. And we're going to be speaking more about the drop-off and this historical moment in time. So Bitlu Hashkolo. So the Mishnah Sota says that from this point going forward, we don't have an Eshkol anymore. Now, first of all, what is an Eshkol? So the Gemara goes on to explain, Isha Kolbo. So an Eshkol is a reference to something, a person that has everything. Rashi over here explaining everything. Everything includes, Rashi says, Torah, Yiras Chet, and Gemilas Chasadim. So that is Eshkolos. And so from Moshe until these two, so that's the kind of leadership that we had, where they were all encompassing leaders. Going from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu all the way to the point of Yosef ben Yoezer, so the Torah was taught just like Moshe Rabbeinu taught it. Clear, decisive, no machlokas. Mikan ve'elech lo hayu lameidim Torah k'Moshe Rabbeinu. From this point going forward, it was not being taught like the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, v'amar av yura mishmol shoshas lafim halachos nishachu b'mei evel shal Moshe. So the Gemara is bothered because we have a tradition. The tradition is that when Moshe died, so we lost 3,000 halachas. Now, the number of halachas that we lost, we're not sure about, even though I know we just read very clearly in the Gemara. The number is 3,000, but you're going to see. Over the course of today's daf, we're going to have a couple of versions, three versions, in terms of how many halachas were lost. But we know that there was a loss of halachas upon the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did we lose the halachas with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu? So, again, later on this morning, we're going to get a little window into that as well. But we did. We lost it. So how can you tell me that Torah was kept pristine from the time of Moshe to about 900 years later with Yosef ben Yoezer? Moshe died and we already lost halacha. So Gemara is bothered. So d'ishakech luhu ishtakech, u'digamir luhu havagimir k'moshe rabbeinu. So the Gemara's answer, very simple, very straightforward. Look. You're right, we lost halachas. Okay, no, nothing can be done about that. But in terms of, well, that, by the way, that statement is not totally true. We're going to come back to that also in just a bit. But as far as the halachas that were retained, the vast majority of the halachas that were retained, so they were transmitted and passed down pristine, like Moshe taught them. V'atanya, the Gemara quotes another brisa, Mishamesh Moshe imrabu metamim timum, rabu tarim tiaru. So the Gemara is bothered because we have another tradition that after the death of Moshe, so how they decide halacha, they voted. And then we win a majority. So the Gemara is bothered. What do you mean you're voting? Why are we even debating? What's the debate? Don't we know what the halacha is? So liba di'imet migmar havagimir luhu kemoshe rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, okay, and we're going to basically say the same thing. Vis-a-vis the halachas that were lost, so we needed to debate them. And we needed to recreate them. And it was done through a vote. And the Sanhedrin decided. And we went by the majority. But as far as the halachas that were not lost, so a perfect transmission, like we said earlier.
Mimasis in time of the Gemara. Writes down, Achere.
Yeah.
So you see that there was a kind of a kuach
that you go so, to the rabbi. Right. And what you could say is that the Torah was accounting, was planning ahead for a time where we didn't know the halacha. Okay, could be. B'masi satan the Gemara quotes a brisa kol eshkol shamdu liyisrael miyamos Moshe Hashem es Yosef ben Yoezer yishreda lo haya bem shum dofi. And again, now another statement, another brisa speaking about the level of leadership that we had from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yosef ben Yoezer, and then the drop-off. So from Moshe until Yosef ben Yoezer, you had no dofi. Now the word dofi, it's a tricky word. It basically means duplicitous, right? The word itself, right? The word do, we find it in a couple places throughout Shas. It means it comes from the Greek duo or Latin duo, and it means basically two. But it's not said in a positive sense. It's said in a pejorative sense, meaning you're duplicitous. You're somewhat hypocritical. So I'm gonna shy away from using the word hypocritical in this regard, but basically you'll see. In other words, as far as from Moshe until Yosef ben Yoezer, everybody was straight as an arrow. Mikan ve'ela chayabem shum dofi. But from this point going forward, there was some dofi. Okay, so again, we don't know exactly what it is, but certainly something negative. V'atanya, now the Gemara says, now wait one second. So you're telling me that after Yosef ben Yoezer, so the leadership was not made of people who were of a certain level. Gemara says that's not true. V'atayin the Gemara quotes a brisa. Ma'is b'chassid echad hayagonech milibo. So there was a chassid. We're going to talk about who he was at the end of the story, but he's gonech milibo. Gonech milibo. So something was definitely ailing him, right? If you look at Rashi for the symptoms, in terms of what was ailing him. So Rashi writes goneach tzawek mikeev libo. So he was crying because he had a pain in his heart. Okay, I know I have a couple cardiologists over here, so you can try to diagnose. Anyway, so vishalu l'rofim, so he asked the doctors what should do. Va'amar einlam takana ashino chalav roseach shacharis. So what does he need? He needs warm milk in the morning. Okay, so that was the prescription that was given to him by the doctors. Warm milk, by the way, meaning straight from the tap. Okay, so the heviu eis. So they brought him a goat. So now he's going to have fresh goat milk every morning. And so what they do is they tie the goat to his bed. And so what he would do is we'd be drinking fresh, warm goat milk every morning. Okay, now what's the problem with all this? Right, it's a little bit unusual having a goat tied to your bed. But the problem is that it violated rabbinic injunction. We are not allowed to raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah spent some time talking about this. And the reason why is because small animals, so they're hard to control. They go into other people's fields. You're going to end up stealing from other people's fields, crops in other people's fields. So anyway, general injunction, not to raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael. And so what he did is he brought a small animal into his house. And so this was, for him, scandalous. And so the Gemara goes on to describe, Lamacha nichnasu chaver levakro, and the next morning, friends come and visit him, kevin sharau ways, and they see the goat. Amru listim mizuim besoch beso. They said that there are armed bandits in this house. They're making reference to the goat. Va'anu nichnasim levakro, and we should go in and we should visit him. We shouldn't go visit him. Meaning he's got something which is, again, for him and his level, scandalous. He's got a small animal in his house. Yashua batka v'lamatzah bo'avon ela shal osa wa'iz bovad. After doing a cheshbon and nefesh, he saw that the only chait, the only sin that he had to account for was only this in of itself, and that he brought a goat into his house. Now, I know you can ask the question. In fact, I'm going to do so right now. This is seemingly he had a heart condition that needed resolution. If we're talking about violating Isser Derabanan, one can easily imagine that the Isser Derabanan can be violated in order so that he would have a refuah. So what exactly was the chait that he did? That is it's a wonderful question. I don't have prepared answers for it, but certainly it's a worthwhile consideration. Anyway, but for I guess maybe it's him at his level, however you want to address it. In other words, but if the Gemara certainly feels that he was in violation of the rabbinic Isser. V'afu b'shas mitzaso omar. Now he himself admitted at his own death, right before his death. Yodani b'as mishem bo avon ella shal oso ha'ez bo vad she'avarti al divrei chaverai. I know that the only thing I really have to account for in terms of a cheshbon nefesh is the incident, the scandal of the goat, where I brought a goat into the house so I could drink directly from the goat so I would heal. Shari amru chachamim eim agalim behem adaka b'Eretz Yisrael. One is not allowed to raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael. V'kaimelon kol heichad amar maisa. Now, as far as bringing around the story to our point, meaning the story in of itself is an interesting story. What does it have to do with what we are discussing? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. It has to do with the identity of this chassid. We just simply describe him as being chassid. Who is it? So, E. Rav Yehuda ben Bava or Rav Yehuda bar Ilai. So it could be either one of two candidates. Rav Yehuda ben Bava or Rav Yehuda bar Ilai. In either event, these are later generation Tanayim, living well after the period of Yosef ben Yoezer. So the Rabbanan Basa Yosef ben Yoezer, Yishrei da Hadari Dari Havu. So whoever it is, whichever one of them it is, they are generations later after Yosef ben Yoezer. And we're looking at of somebody who is a chassid, and right now can, on his ledger of Averos, only has one, a violation of rabbinic Isser, only so that he could help himself. So in other words, certainly justifiable. And it's hard to say that you can be on a higher level than that. And what bothers the Gemara now is you're telling me that there was a drop-off from Yosef ben Yoezer going forward. Meanwhile, I'm showing you Tanayim, who have a later generation, who were on that level. So I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, okay, that's not what we meant. We didn't mean personal conduct. In terms of personal conduct, you had extraordinary people living well after Yosef ben Yoezer, as we have just highlighted. So what we mean is the following, as now we are on the top of Tezayin Amud Aleph. I'm Rav Yosef, Dofi Shel Smicha, Kitani. So so we're talking about Dofi Shel Smicha. Dofi Shel Smicha is what? So take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi refers to the Gemara in Chagiga. By the way, just in terms of remembering the dopping, it'll be pretty straightforward because the Gemara here in Tamur is on Taf Tes Zayin, and the Gemara in Chagiga is also on Taf Tes Zayin. So just, I know it's a lot of dopping that we go through, and it's hard to remember everything. Really challenging, but at least here we have a fighting chance. It's the same daf here and in the Gemara in Chagiga, speaking about the history of Torah Shabbat Peh. Dofi Shel Smicha, so Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Chagiga, and it basically goes as follows. I'm reading the Rashi, the top Rashi in the Yamud. Ad Yosef ben Yoezer lo nechelku b'smicha v'lo b'shum davar. So as far as up to the generation of Yosef ben Yoezer, there was no machlokas. They didn't debate smicha, they didn't debate anything. Smicha, by the way, as you'll see over here, has nothing to do with rabbinic ordination. Well, Rashi is going to explain. Sha'adayim lo nismait halev, because at this point in time, the heart is not weakened. The heart over here, meaning we're talking about the intellect and the resolve, and in other words, we are still at that high level. Smicha became the first machlokus that occurred in the amongst the Jewish people as part of Torah Shabbat Peh. Umiyozeb ben Yozeb ve'elecha yebem dofi shol smicha. And from that point going forward, there was dofi of smicha. Dofi over here, now we can understand the word in its most literal sense. Meaning there were two sides to smicha. There was an argument. Shenechuku b'smicha shlamim b'yom tov k'damrina b'chagiga. Shamei amar lismach v'hil amar shalal lismach. And if you see the Gemara, the complementary Gemara over there in Chagiga discussing our issue, so the Gemara over there says that whether or not we could do smicha with a carbon shlamim that we're bringing on Yontav, what's the consideration, what's the issue? On one hand, smicha is a mitzvah. On the other hand, Yontav, there's an iser not to come into contact with an animal, and animals muksa. So should we do smicha? Should we avoid smicha? Is smicha going to override the iser derabanan? So this is part of the discussion slash debate. And this was it. This is the first debate that occurs regarding the halach l'moshe misi, I'm sorry, the Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay. So that is what's meant. So as we now go from the period of Moshe Rabbeinu up to Yosef ben Yoezer, and we are now going from entering into Eretz Yisrael by Srishon, sorry, Mishkan Shiloh by Srishon, Galus Bavel. I'm going through a quick Jewish history lesson. Galus Bavel, coming back and building by Sheni. And now we're about the third generation rabbinically into Bais Sheni. So from that historical period, there was no machlokas. And then from Yosef ben Yoezer going forward, there was a machlokas. The Gemara over here just simply fine-tunes exactly when the machlokas started. V'ha-Yosef ben Yoezer gufei mifleg palig. So b'smicha. So the Gemara says, now you're telling me that the machlokas started after Yosef ben Yoezer. But the Gemara says, but he himself was part of the debate. So the Gemara says, ki iflig bei b'sof shnia debatzu liba. So the Gemara fine-tuning now, yeah, the debate started at the end of Yosef ben Yoezer's lifetime. The Gemara describes it as a period of batzer liba, literally the diminishment of the heart. It means that at the end of his life, so already now there was a diminishment. You could talk about him personally or maybe just about the general Mesorah of Torah Shabbat Peh, whatever the case is. That's when Machlokas started. And just if I can fill in a little bit of the blank of the Gemara over here, when are we talking about like a real proliferation of machlokas? So that takes us really to past the Zugos, meaning the students of Shammai and Hillel, what we refer to as Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That's when you had a real proliferation of machlokas, meaning we just see the schism start at Yosef ben Yoezer. So that was the machlokas of Smicha. And a couple other things were debated going up to Shammai and Hillel, but then from that point going forward, now we're talking about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so that's when Machlokas really proliferated. The Gemara says, the Rambam records it, that the reason why there was so much Machlokas after Shammai and Hillel is because the students of Shammai and students of Hillel were not Mishamish their Rebbe as much as they should have been, and so that's really where the Mesorah and the Torah Shabbat Peh really started to break off into various branches. In fact, we know. In other words, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel literally became two different schools of halacha and Torah Shabbat Peh. And so, and the decision had to have been made in terms of which one we're going to follow. Right? We know where that went. But that is really where. But in terms of like just like the beginning break of Torah Shabbat Peh, so it goes back five generations earlier to Yosef ben Yoezer, as we just learned right now. Gufa, the Gemara goes back to discussing the halachas that were lost at Evlo Shel Moshe at the morning of Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shel Shos Alafim Halachos Nishtachu B'mei Evlo Shel Moshe. Okay, so 3,000 halachas were lost by Moshe. Amar Lo Yoshua Sha'al. So they say to Yoshua, okay, you know what? It's easy for you. You have an open communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you're the leader. You're also a Navi. So get back those halachas for us. It's just very simple. You go ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm alei lo b'shamayim hi. So Yoshua says that's simply not how it works. In other words, the halacha was given to us at Mamad Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the rest of it is part of Mesorah. It's all part of a transmission that goes from one generation to the next. And at that point, from that point going forward, there is no more Navi intervention. In other words, the halacha simply goes on ground level, if you will, and no longer lo b'shamayim hi. It's no longer coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar lo l'Shmuel Sha'al. They go to Shmuel. Now, obviously, this is years later, right? Shmuel is many years after Yoshua, but they go to Shmuel and Sha'al. And again, Shmuel being the leader and being a Navi. So they ask them to do the same. Amar lahem elu ha-mitzvah she'in ha-navi rashal ha-chadesh davar. So these are the mitzvos, the end of towards the end of Sefer Dvarim, meaning and that a Navi cannot be mechadish, a Navi cannot innovate and create new halachas. Now, it's interesting, by the way, we're not talking about new halachas. We're just simply talking about revealing the halachas that were lost at Evel Shamosha, but same idea. In other words, it can't come via Nevuah. Yes, it's a couple of interesting things over here. In other words, Shmuel was asked after Yoshua gave the answer, years earlier, generations earlier, Yoshua gave the answer. And it's also interesting that when Shmuel gives an answer, he cites a different source in terms of why he's saying no. It's a similar idea to Yoshua, but there's got to be some subtle differences between the way Yoshua said it versus the way Shmuel said it. Okay, so a number of points I'm just highlighting. I'm not really going in depth. So, of the many halachas that were lost during the mourning of Moshe Rabbeinu, so chata shemesu ba'alaha, when you have a chatas where the owner is dead, and what becomes now of the chatas, so that was also forgotten during Evel Shemosha. Amar Pinchas Shal, so they turned to Pinchas and they said, go and ask. Amar Lei lo b'shamayim hi. So, his response is, I can't. In other words, I can't bring back the halacha by asking Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's no longer up in heaven. Amar Lei Elazar Sha'al. They go to Elazar, the Kohen, and they say, ask. Amar Lehem, Eila Mitzvah Shein Navi Rasha Lechadish Davar. Me'ata Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav B'Shah Sheniftar Moshe Rabbeinu. Sorry, before we go on in the Gemara. So here, again, similar construct of Gemara. It just happens to be that specifically one of the halachas was chatas shemesu ba'alaha. What becomes of the chatas when the owner dies? Is the chatas to be disposed of? Is it one of the chatas amesos? Or is it to be left to graze? So this too was also forgotten during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. At the end of today's daf, we're going to be coming back to this point of how this may have been one of the forgotten halachas. We're going to come back to that a little bit later on. And again, same back and forth, meaning Pinchas gave the answer of Lava Shemaim Hi. Elazar HaKohen gave the answer of Eina Navi Rasha Lechadesh Tavar. And again, same point, just a different way to arrive at a point. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Am Rav Yehuda Rav Shasha Niftar Moshe Rabbeinu LeGan Eden. So at the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was headed towards Gan Eden, i.e. he was going to die, and he basically turned to Yoshua and he said, this is going to be our last conversation, so let's make it count. So Amar Lo Yoshua Shalmi Mena Kol Tzveiko Sheyesh Lecha. So he turns to Yoshua and he says, okay, anything unclear? Because now is the time for clarification. Amar Lo Rebbe Klum Hi Nachtani Sha Achaz V'Lachti L'Makom Acher. So Yoshua gives an answer, and Yoshua could have just simply said, no, I'm good. But Yoshua, in answering, a little bit of self-promotion. Now I'm careful about how I'm saying this because we're speaking about Yoshua, but just a little bit of self-promotion. So, have I ever left you? Have I ever gone anywhere else? The following was written about me, meaning, right, let's take a look at the Torah that you wrote. And here's your description of me. So, I never left the tent. So, Yoshua basically saying, no, I'm good. But again, the way he said it, the tone in which he said it, there was a little bit of ego. So miyad chashash kocho shel. Now here in our Gemara we have the word Yoshua, right? You see all those letters, right? Everyone is magia. Everyone is writing a correction, right? So the girsa that is favored by most is Moshe. Miyad chashash kocho shel Moshe. Moshe at that point in time got weak, because in other words he felt the attitude, and it disturbed him. And v'nishachu mimena shalosh me'os halachos. And v'nodu lo sheva me'os feikos. So at that point in time, because of the weakness of Moshe, 300 halachos were forgotten, 700 halachos came into suffek, into doubt. V'amdu kol Yisrael lahargo. And the Jewish people wanted to kill Yoshua, because it's a result of the way he answered the question that we lost this many halachos. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lam lecha yefshar. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yoshua, look, I can't tell you them. So lech v'tardam b'milchama. So he says, here's what I suggest that you do. Basically, you see all the people that are so upset with you? Distract them. Right? Do something with them. And then, right, send them to war. Right? It's not, by the way, the first time that we've seen this in the Gemara, where basically war was used as a distraction. I know in history it happened more than one time, where war is used as a distraction. But here we find in the Gemara, distract them with some war. Okay, and we go to the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, where basically we start with the war and we start with the battles. In this version, by the way, previously we had it that Yehoshua lost 3,000 halachas. In this version, so it was 300 halachas and an additional 700 which were subject to suffering.
None of these numbers are good.
I don't know.
So this was like an instant amnesia from everybody?
Yeah.
And Hashem wanted it that way.
Okay. Again, to the best of my ability, I can try to relate this. But Masis and Tana now, in the third version, Elef Ushvami, I was calling the Chamorim, Zereshavs of Digdu Kisofrim, Nishtachum B'mei Evlo Shel Moshe. So in a third version, it's a total of 1,700. 1,700 made up of Kavachomers and Xerishavas and Diktuke Sofrim. Diktuke Sofrim over here, as Rashi points out, we see the Rashi inside, Mefarsh Bashkalm Sha'asua Torah, Sefiro Sefiros. Diktuke Sofrim over here sometimes refers to rabbinic injunction, rabbinic law, but that's not what it means over here because we're talking about part of the corpus of Torah that was lost. So what's meant over here, explains Rashi, is sofrim from the word mispar, numbers. What does that mean? Rashi over here points out, Shasu Torah spheros, spheros, kigon, tesva nafshim, pocho sarasehim. Right? We're going to find this throughout the Mishnayos. The first Mishnah in Yevamos talks about the 15 women who are going to excuse, exempt their co-wives from the mitzvah of Yibum. And Yugimot Vram Namru, benivlas of Tahor. The Mishnayos in Taros, which we don't see in the Daf Yomi, but it's one of the Masechtas in Seder Taros. The Mishnayos in Taros. So talking about the 13 unique halachas that apply to a nivlas of tar. And chamisha lo yitrom shetzirfu hadvarim umanim yachad. And the five people who are not to take off trumas amaisos. And so whenever you see a series of halachas opening up with a number, that number is part of the dikduke sofrim. And so what the Gemara here is advancing is that there were many other types of these types of numbers and organizations. And this is all part of the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, as a memory aid, as a mnemonic device to help us remember the halacha. So certain categories of halachas were introduced with a number, and that was lost with Evlo Shel Moshe. Some of them were lost with Evlo Shel Moshe. Interesting, by the way, Kavachomer being one of the things that was lost. Now, Kavachomer, meaning these arguments, you know, generally speaking, we understand them to be man-made. We make the Kavachomer arguments. The idea that we lost the Kal V'chomer arguments in of itself is interesting. But the Gemara says that's part of the 1700. When all said and done, we lost halachas with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. How many halachas did we lose? So it's, you know, it's not an irony. It's like part and parcel of the story. We're not sure how many we lost. Meaning that's, I guess, part of the loss of what we lost is that we don't even know how much we lost. So the ranges anywhere from 3,000 to 1,000, which is broken down to 700, 300. 300 for sure we lost, 700 suffix. Or the third version is that we lost 1,700. In any regard, the idea is all the same, just details in terms of how much we actually lost. We're back to the Gemara. We are halfway down on the Amud as the lines are about to get wide. Amar Rabbi Abahu. Now we're up to the line that is wide. Afa piken hechziran. The halachas that were lost were brought back by Asniel ben Kenaz. Asniel ben Kenaz, one of the first of the shoftim, so he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and using pilpul, using methodology, he brought back the halachas. Shenamar veikada Asniel ben Kenaz achi kalev. And so in citing from the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, so the Asniel ben Kenaz conquered. He was the brother of Kalev. We're skipping the parentheses. Vayitain lo es achsabi toli isha. And so what Kalev did is Kalev gave his daughter to his brother. So that means to say that Asniel married his niece. Back in the day, even today, mutter, but Arminig is not to. But back in the day, not only mutter, but super popular. Right? So you married your niece. So, Bitolisha. V'lamni krashmo achsa. It's an interesting name, says the Gemara. What does that mean, achsa? What kind of name is that? Shekola roasa ko'es al ishto. She was so beautiful that when somebody saw her, so they were upset with their wives. Meaning, this is what I married, and meanwhile, there's that out there. Okay, so, the Gemara describes it as a description of her beauty. Okay. Avayhi bavoa va tisisehu lish'o me'es avia sadeva titznach me'al hachamor. So the Gemara now takes us through a series of psukim regarding the arranged marriage and the friction that takes place between Achsa and her new husband. You see, she married a Talmud Chacham. And just as general recommendation, it's nice to marry a Talmud Chacham. On the other hand, he's not bringing in a lot of money. And so it's not a new problem, it's an old problem. And this problem takes us all the way back to one of the first shoftim of the Jewish people. So again, let me just go back to the pasuk. Vayhi bevoav v'tisiseu l'shom eis avia sadeh v'titznach me'al chamor. So she's asking a field from her father. She's basically asking her father for some property. And she's titznach. My titznach. What does that mean? Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Lo. Machamor zeh kevin she'ein lo ma'achal ba'avusom yad soeik. You know, a donkey, when he doesn't have any food in his feeder, so he starts screaming out. Kach isha kevin she'ein la tvua b'toch beisa mi'ad soeik. Same thing with a woman. If she opens up the pantry, there's no food in the pantry, she's going to scream. V'tomer tena la bracha ki eretz ha'negev nisatani. So she's basically asking her father, look, we need help. We need financial help. So she's asking for ki eretz ha'negev nasati. Because up until now, what have you given me? You've given me eretz ha'negev. Now, literally desert. You're giving me like nothing fertile. Beish menugav mikol tuva. You've given me basically a house that is dry. Right? We got nothing in the house. Back to the pasuk. V'nasati li golos mayim. So adam shembo ela torah bovad. What did you give me? You gave me just water. And the Gemara understands this not to be understood literally, but figuratively. You know what you gave me? You gave me a husband who's a Talmud Chacham. That's great. It's just not putting food on the table. Vaitein la kalev es gulos alios ve es gulos ha v'tachtios. So fine. So kalev gave her land. Right? The gulos alios ve gulos tachtios. Amar la mi shadar elyonim v'tachtonim yivakesh mimenu mizonos. And again, the Gemara understands the pasuk not literally, but figuratively. Meaning, you're coming to me for mizonos, you have a really special husband. Meaning, he's not just a Talmud Chacham. He is versed in what goes on here below and what goes on above. And so, you don't need me. You have a husband who is knowledgeable in the lower and upper worlds. Okay. So, that was the back and forth between Achsa and her father regarding the arranged marriage with her uncle. She wasn't happy, and her father told her, no, it's good. And where does the story go? Unclear. Meaning, that's it. That's all we're getting regarding the story. Certainly be curious to know what became. Now, V'kalev ben Kenazu, the Gemara over here goes through its classic correction in terms of what's his name, right? The Navi describes him as Kalev ben Kenaz. Now, we all know him much better as Kalev ben Yefuna. Good. The Kalev ben Kenazu. So what do you mean he's Kalev ben Kenaz? Valo Kalev ben Yefuna who? So we know him better as Kalev ben Yefuna. Ma Yefuna. Shepina me'atzas meraglim. So we have this all the time coming up through Shas. And that is that sometimes a name that's given in the Torah is not a formal name. It's not a proper name. It's more of an adjective. It's a description. So Kalev ben Yefuna because he turned away from the meraglim. Vakati ben Kenazu ben Chetzron who? So again, the Gemara is bothered because we have elsewhere, here we're going to be quoting from Divrei Hayamim, which is a historical recap of all of Jewish history up to the building of Beit Sheni. So so here in Divrei Hayamim is described as Kalev ben Chetzron. Dechziv Kalev ben Chetzron, holid es Azuva. So Kalev ben Chetzron gives birth to Azuva. So Amarava Chorge de Kenazu. So the Gemara says, okay, so really what he was the stepson of Kenaz. He was not they shared mothers, but they did not share fathers. So Tanu hu asniel hu yavetz. So the
Gemara.
A half brother. What's it called? Stepbrothers. The stepbrothers. Right. Tanu hu asniel hu yavetz. The Gemara points out that asniel and yavetz are one and the same. Mashmo Yehuda achi Shimon Shemo. And his name was actually Yehuda. Now, Asniel, and again, so now we're saying that some of the names that are used to describe him are not proper names. They're just simply adjectives. So the Gemara is now going to explain the adjective. Asniel sha'anu el. So Asniel, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him. Ya'avetz sha'atz v'ribatz Torah b'Yisrael. And Ya'avetz because he advised and taught Torah to the Jewish people. Uminal sha'anu el. Now, how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him? Dechsiv, ha'yikra Ya'avetz alokei Yisrael. Le'emor imbarech tivarchini There are basis v'alayva ha'isa yadcha. I'm skipping parentheses. Lebel tiatzvi v'yavo lakim es asher sha'al. So the Gemara now goes over a tefillah that was uttered, and the Gemara now is going to go back over the tefillah and explain the phrases and what he was asking for. In barach tevarachini b'torah. So please give me a bracha with Torah. Vir basi es gvulai b'talmidim. And I want you to expand my borders with students. Vaisa yadcha imadi shelo yishtakech talmidai milibi. And I want your hand to be with me that I don't want to forget anything that I learned. The asam mar asi, she is damnuli rain kamosi, and also chevra, right? I want a good chevra, right? So interesting. You daven for a good chevra, but yeah, that's what we're learning from today's daf. Levilti atavisha lo yizgabeni yitzara milashonos. So the and also levilti atavi. Make sure that the yitzara doesn't get the best of me, right? We're battling the yitzara every single day. And so he asks the Kadosh Baruch Hu for help on that front. Ima ta ose kein mutav, and if you do this for me, that's good. The im lav hareini olech lin sisi lishol miyad. Otherwise, I'm going to go down to the grave. Vayavo elokim asher shaal kayote bedaver. I'm sorry. Vayavo elokim asher shaal. And the conclusion, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him everything that he asked. So you see that Asniel ben Kenaz petitioned the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he was answered. And now we understand the name Asniel, meaning that wasn't his proper name, but a description of yes, and therefore he was answered. Okay, interesting, by the way, because we learned earlier this morning that his wife said that we don't have food in the house. And you see that one of the things he did not ask for, he didn't ask for food, right? That was just a whatever. No need for food.
Need for food for thought.
You're right, right. Okay. Kayote bedavar ata omer. So the Gemara gives a similar type of limud on other psukim. The pasuk initially says, "Rashi ish tichachim nifkeshu meir einai shneim Hashem." So we're talking about the Rash, the poor person, the ish tichachim. Ish tichachim. Took a look at Rashi over here. He explains what does that mean. Beinoni. So Rashi describes it as an average person. What's an average person in terms of Torah knowledge? Get ready for this. Rashi writes, okay, so he knows 2 to 3 siddarim. Okay, in other words, there's 6 siddarim to master. So you know 2, you know 3, you are benoni, you're average.
Wow.
I know. Anyway, so the pasuk talks about the Rash, the poor person, meaning here in this context. We meaning poor poverty in terms of knowledge, he doesn't know anything. And he's together with the techachim, the average. So nifkeshu me'en Hashem shneim Hashem. B'shash shehatamid holech etzel rabba va'omer lo lamdini Torah. So when the student goes over to the Rebbe and asks of him, I'd like to learn Torah. So im lamdo me'ir enei shneihem Hashem. So once the petition comes about where the student says, I'd like to learn Torah, and then he teaches him Torah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu's me'ir. Kadosh Baruch Hu illuminates. V'im lav. Otherwise, Ashiv Rash Nifkashu Ose Kulam Hashem. Otherwise, it basically is not going to head anywhere. So basically, Misha Asu Chacham Lazeh Oso Tipesh. Tipesh Lazeh Oso Chacham. Kadosh Baruch Hu can reverse a person's knowledge. If he's smart, Kadosh Baruch Hu can make him a Tipesh. If he's Tipesh, Kadosh Baruch Hu can make him smart. Zu Mishnas Rabbi Nasan. This was the teaching of Rabbi Nasan. So basically, in order to have successful learning between Talmud and Rebbe, so the Talmud has to petition and say, I'd like to learn. Otherwise, it's not going to be successful. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer, Im Beirech Tevachayna Bepiriya Verivya. Here is what we're going to do. We're going to go back over the Tefillah of Asniel, and in this regard, the Gemara is going to give a slightly different understanding of what exactly he was petitioning. So here we go, now round 2. So he was asking for children. And here, basis gvula, expanding my borders, that's referring to sons and daughter. And he asked for a success in business. And I should have no pain, not in my head, not in my ears, not in my eyes. This last one is the same. And he asked for help from the Yetzer Hara. Otherwise, I'm going to go down to the grave. Vayavolo Elokim es Asher Sha'al. And Akash Baruch Hu gave him what he asked for. In the second version, he does ask for material gain. But material gain, so that he will be free and available to learn Torah. So, and again, the Gemara now goes back to the Pasuk in Mishlei, and the Gemara is going to be offering the same pshat. Sorry, not the same pshat. Similar pshat to the one that we just said regarding the tefillah of Asniel. If the Ani goes over to the Baal Bais, and if Amar Parnaseni, so im farnasom mutav im lav asher farash nifkashu osa kulam Hashem misha also asher laze also ani laze also asher. So if we have a situation where the ani goes over to the asher and says parnaseni, like in other words, I need support, please help me. So we start with a petition. So then it'll be a successful arrangement where the ani is going to give him parnasa and they're both going to succeed. However, if there isn't that petition to begin with, so then it's going to end bad. The rich person will become poor, the poor person become wealthy, but it won't be a good relationship. It won't be a successful relationship. So it's similar to what we said before, but it was before we were talking in Ruchnius and in learning, and here we're talking in terms of Gashmius and in terms of the right way to approach somebody. Okay, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Aikan Divrei Agadata, that ends our Agadata for this morning. It took up half the daf today, and so we are going to continue going back to our Mishnah and finishing up to the next Mishnah. Mematzina, Tan Rabbanan, here the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. The Braisa is basically going to teach us the same thing that we learned in the Mishnah regarding the argument of Rabbi Shimon. There are five chataos amesos. There are five different types of carbon chatoses that need to be disposed of. And of those five, so Rabbi Shimon says, well, three of them can't apply to a carbon seabor. None of them can apply to a carbon seabor. And as we learned in yesterday's daf, the Vlad chatos, Tamuris chatos, and chatu shemesu ba'alaha can't apply to a tzibor. Why? Because the tzibor carbon is male, it can't have children. The tzibor carbon cannot affect tamura because no carbon tzibor can affect tamura. And as far as the tzibor dying, the tzibor doesn't die. All points that we went over in yesterday's daf. So since of the five, three of them can't apply to a tzibor, so therefore the other two also don't apply to a tzibor. So Tana Rabbanan Rabbi Shimon Amar Chamesh Chatos Mesos Vlad Chatos Tumuris Chatos V'Chatos Shemesu Ba'alev V'Chatos Shekibur Ba'alev V'Chatos Sheibur Shnasa. The Gemara here goes over all five of them, three that we went over, plus another two, where the owner received a kapara through another one, meaning the owner lost the original, replaced it, received a kapara through the replacement, and discovered the lost original one. That is number four. And number five, Ibra Shnasa. It's now over a year old. I Ata Yochol Lomar Vlad chatos b'tzibor l'fisha ain chatos nekeva b'tzibor. V'iyata yacholamar tamuras chatos b'tzibor l'fisha ain tzibor osin tamura. V'iyata yacholamar chatos shemesu ba'ala b'tzibor l'fisha ain tzibor mesim. So, as we just went over, but the Gemara here spells it out. So the first three cannot apply to a tzibor, just can't. N.A., it's not applicable. So shekibur ba'ala v'shivur shnasa ala matzinu. So, as far as the last two, the one, the chatas where the owners received a kapara through another, or the chatas where it's over a year. So there, yachol yunag is maybe yachol b'mit tzibor. So now they could apply to a carbon tzibor because we can have the tzibor losing a carbon chatas and replacing it. We can have the tzibor having their chatas turn a year old, become over a year old. So they could apply to a tzibor. So what do we say under those circumstances? Amart yilamed sasum mimafurash. So this is the argument. Now we saw this argument already in the Mishnah. The Gemara is bringing down the Braisa because quite frankly the Braisa is speaking it out just a little clearer than we saw in the Mishnah, but it's essentially the same point. Since three of them don't apply to a carbon seabor, so then the other two don't apply to a carbon seabor as well. The question we've all been waiting for. We could have asked this question yesterday when we saw the Mishnah. But now after having gone through the Braisa itself is bothered. V'chidanen efshar mishi'i efshar. So, I'm sorry, this is not part of the Braisa. This is the Gemara now commenting on the Braisa. How? How could you do that? You're learning from something which is impossible to something which is possible. And the Gemara throughout Shah says, that's not a limud. In other words, if we see a halacha over here, it's precedented and it sets the halacha in other areas. But over here, it's not because the halacha is different over here. It's just simply not applicable. I don't have a chatas sibor where it has a child, where it can affect tamura, where the owners can die. They just simply na. It's not applicable. So now I'm gonna take those scenarios and learn a halacha to where it is applicable that violates the rule of dan an efshar mishi e efshar, and that's what bothers the Gemara. So Reish Lakish says no. We need clarification over here in terms of what exactly happened. And what exactly happened? So the Gemara is going to give us two versions of what exactly happened. The Gemara starts off with Reish Lakish's version. Am Reish Lakish arba nisnu lahen ve'emidim achamesh. So the way Rashi explains it goes like this. I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Arba nitnu lahem kulam arba chatos nitnu lahem misinai demesos velo chamesh. The original halach lamoshe misinai is that of the five scenarios that we illustrated, so four of them, the conclusion is mesos. And for one of them, skip the parentheses in Rashi, v'hachamishi is nemar lahem roa. And for one of them, we said the conclusion is grace. So we have five scenarios. We know of the five scenarios, the conclusion for the five, we just don't know how to match. Of the five, four of them are holech lamisa, and one of them is isha grace. But because of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, so now here's what we don't know. Which of those five should be left to grace? Right, and that goes back to the Amud Aleph of today's daf, where this is one of the halachas that was lost of the many. And so now what the Chachamim decided is as follows. Well, look, we don't know, but we know of the five scenarios, four of them is holech lamisa. So here's what we're going to say. All of them are going to be holech lamisa. V'amru kulam mesos. Hilkach. Is agadacha b'tzibor namar lahem. Mi mishkacha luhu b'tzibor. Halo misramu b'tzibor. Now, these, even though we are now down to four, but here's what we know. We know that it can't apply to a tzibor. Why? Because of the tzibor, three are just simply not applicable. So we can't come to a scenario where these four would apply to a carbon tzibor because only two could apply to a carbon tzibor. So if we had two, so then we could say, oh, you know what? Maybe taka, it applies to carbon tzibor. But being that there were four, so therefore it can't apply to carbon tzibor. So that's the constructed argument in terms of how we know that it only applies to a yachid because of this development, where four of them are holech lamisa. We know that the four apply to one type of carbon. It can't apply to a tzibor because of the five, only two scenarios work by a tzibor. So that's how we know it applies to a carbon yachid. Okay, that is one version.
Where is Reish Lakish got that from?
That's part of his Masorah.
Rabbi Yochanan was it?
I can't give you more than the Gemara. Okay, he had other teachers, and it's part of his Masorah. So Arba Nitnu Lahem Be'Midim Achamesh V'Isak Adacha B'Tzibor Hanach Mi Isnu B'Tzibor. Back to the Gemara, but I'm reading basically what we saw in Rashi. Ela Karchach Yilam Mitzasa Mimafurash. Okay. So that is one version of what happened. Good. Rabbi Nasan Omer, Achas Nitna Lahem, V'Himidu Achamesh. So now in our second version, now in the Gemara we have the word Rabbi Nasan, right? My sense is probably that too will be changed to a name of an Amora. Okay, in any event. He's giving pshat in Rabbi Shimon. So achas nitna lahem. Now in this version, it's one. Vehemidu achamesh. Now meaning same basic pshat that we gave previously, that one of the five is holech lamisa, and again because of Evlo Shamosha, so we forgot which one of the five are going to be holech lamisa. Velech lebuhus sidre gemira lehu ibi yachid ibitzibur. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. So if it's now down to one, so it could apply to yachid, it could apply to tzibur as well. So the Gemara says, shtei shichichoy shachachu. So the Gemara says, actually, two things were forgotten. One, of the five, which one is holech lamisa? Two, was it a carbon yachid or was it a carbon tzibur? V'kashiluhu, v'isak adachah b'tzibur hanach mi'isnu b'tzibur. So the Gemara says, now, if it was part of the carbon tzibur, well, we know that these five scenarios, three of them are just simply not applicable by tzibur. Elish ma'amina, yilam mitzasim mimafurish. Mimafurish b'yachiv v'lo b'tzibur. Avsasim b'yachiv v'lo b'tzibur. So the Gemara says, well, look, since we know that all five of them do apply to yachid, even though all five of them do not apply to a tzibur, only two of the five apply to a tzibur. So since we're going to say that the one of them for sure applies to yachid, so all of them, therefore, are only going to be limited to a carbon yachid, not to a carbon tzibur. Okay, so it's basically what we said earlier. Notable difference is that earlier we said four of the five are Holech Lamisa. Here in the second version, only one of the five is Holech Lamisa. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of today's daf. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah.